Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Cold Hard Truth Podcast. I'm Jack Smith.
I'm Shrikar Rajendran.
I'm Anish Gupta.
Now, guys, are you ready to debate in this episode?
Let's get
yes.
it.
Yes.
All right. Ready. So we're going to go over a bunch of different debate topics. I'm going to serve them up to you guys. You got to tell me what you think. Starting it off, who will be the best second-year receiver in the National Football League?
Anish, I'm going to let you go first.
So I think you guys all know who I'm probably going to go with. There's a lot of candidates for this. There's Terry McLaurin, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, Darius Slayton. But I got to go with my main man, Deebo Samuel here. I just think the dude is so electrifying. I mean, he had 150 rushing yards as a receiver in his first year. And let's be real, if the Niners had ran the ball, which was on Shanahan, Shrikar, if they had run the ball more, right, to the outside, we would be looking at a receiver who won the Super Bowl MVP in his rookie season. So I'm going to say that even though there's Brandon Ayuk, even though they have Kendrick Bourne, Dante Pettis, who I don't like, but he's still there. Obviously, they get Jalen Hurd back, Trent Taylor, et cetera. But I just think Deebo's established himself enough to be a number one receiver in his second year. He's got some mentorship from Emmanuel Sanders. Obviously, Jerry Rice has reached out to him before. So I think Deebo Samuel here. And there's a lot of other receivers, but I just think Deebo Samuel is going to do a lot more for this team than people realize.
I mean, for me, it came down to Deebo or McLaurin. And when looking at it, McLaurin was playing with horrid quarterback play. I'm pretty sure they threw like 18 touchdowns and he caught half of them. But I'm going to go Deebo Samuel here. I'm a Niner fan. And I definitely think he has the potential to be a top 10 receiver in the NFL. I've said it before. I think he's a modern day Steve Smith. I think that's a great comparison for him. Mm-hmm. The toughness is all there. You see all these yak yards he's going to get. Both Ayuk and Deebo next to each, I'd be scared, because here's the thing. Deebo has a lot to prove. He has a lot yet to prove. And I think his potential is just through the roof, especially what we saw in that Super Bowl. I mean, this guy can break tackles left and right. And I mean,
yeah. So why do you keep calling his name?
It may be biased. Oh, I don't know, man. I don't know. I have no answer. I mean, I think I don't like to blame Shanahan as much, because I like to, I usually blame the defense, and I blame as
See, how can you, we've said this earlier, how could you blame the defense? How, it's not on them. It's like, I know
execution
we're shying
failed
away
when
it
mattered most,
but that's,
they let up.
That's not on the defense, because again, if it's 3rd and 15 and DeForest Buckner is 2 inches away from sacking him, how is that execution failed? Buckner got out of there. He got the pressure. Mahomes found a way to avoid the
secondary,
sack, right? Move back and throw it. But that's
the secondary,
that's
that 3rd and 15.
But Tyreek Hill gets open. That's not on Sherman. Like, sure, Sherman got burnt by Devontae Adams in the NFC Championship.
They
There's
had
numerous occasions where he had
like
a bad
all
game. Exactly. So then Mahomes found a way to break it. He found a way to overcome that. That's
he found a way
to
where the
overcome
Niners defense collapsed.
No, the defense did not collapse. The
it could go either way.
Points. No, but then you, how did they collapse? That's the same thing as saying the Chiefs defense was collapsing all game.
Because
and then
it's
they
a
held
third
up.
And 15.
The 3rd and 15 that Mahomes
and you'd stop them all game.
So that's again, if you're stopping them, how can you can't just assume that the defense is going to stop them the whole game? Mahomes is going to find a way to break it. Like that, I know we're shying away from.
Then
the
again,
second,
then again, this debate
receiver.
Is completely unrelated
yeah.
to
yeah.
what we're actually trying to debate. Jack, what are your thoughts?
Don't let this debate, you know, cloud your guys' vision. Everyone who's listening to this, from the terrible takes these two just had, that Deebo Samuel would be the best second year receiver. It's almost
how is that terrible?
Both of the
how is it a bad take?
How is that? Who could you say that's definitively more talented and definitively?
He's gonna say DK, isn't he?
A Brown or DK Metcalf will both have better years.
Okay, so who's how? Where? What leads you to believe that AJ Brown will clearly separate himself? He's a very talented guy.
He had the best rookie season of the rookie wide receivers, right? And he
the best rookie season doesn't mean he's gonna be better going into next year.
I think he will.
That's not your only thing.
He's not even my best. I'm going to say the DK Metcalf, who you know I'm not biased towards because I was against him in the pre-draft process.
Sure. I hate going in this direction. I can see DK winning it, but I got to go definitive here. What does DK do besides going deep? He's not a consistent number one. He's not.
Neither is Deebo Samuel.
When the games were there, when it did matter, he did step up as an
okay, so did, same with DK Metcalf. Look what
in the playoff game, I'll give you that. I'll give you the Eagles game. I will give you that. But my thing is, it was literally deep. It was deep routes. Deebo is so versatile. Like, you can put him in the running game. You can put him short passing game. And you can throw it to him deep. He's had touchdowns in all three facets. So where have I seen DK Metcalf where I can consistently rely on him? If I have a third and four, right, and I need to get this first down, can I rely on DK Metcalf to get me that? I don't know. Because, again, I've seen him also choke in big moments. The San Francisco game where he fumbled on the goal line, like, that's just one example. I know it wasn't as meaningful as the playoff game, but I can I rely on DK Metcalf to get me that third and four? I don't know. And same thing with all these other receivers. That's fair. Like, you can say, okay, can Deebo get you that third and four? As of right now, there's a lot of questions there. But if I were to have someone out of all these guys,
you trust Deebo more.
Yeah, I trust Deebo more.
And, you know, I see Deebo Samuel as a gadget receiver, and he'll never be a number one receiver.
Like a plug-in?
Never
like
be a number one. He already is. No,
I think he's a number two.
Already their number one.
He's already they really have nothing at receiver.
No, that's – okay, look.
He's a gadget trick receiver that will be a number two receiver his entire career.
His entire career, a number two. But, see, that's the thing. He was already borderline number one receiver as a rookie. Because they had a couple hundred yards receiver.
With Sanders on the team, you could make a great argument. You can't say that he was their number
one. Nothing at receiver. That's a very bold.
Very minimal at receiver this year. We haven't seen Ayuk play. I'll give you that.
So I think when you say receiver, like, do you mean just the receiving? Because George Kittle is still a technical receiver.
Just wide receiver.
But that, you see, again, it's hard to differentiate a receiving core without mentioning the best tight end in the NFL. And I know you don't think it is.
No,
but
George Kittle, tight ends are included in receiving corps.
Yeah, in receiving corps, tight ends are included.
And Deebo is not the number one. He's probably not the number two. Or he probably wasn't the
number two. No, I think he's the number two.
No, he was better than Sanders last year. No question. In my opinion, it wasn't even close.
Statistically, he was better.
Statistically, he was better. He was better in short down yards.
Better in the run game.
He was better in the run game. Better blocker, right? I know Shreekar loves Emmanuel Sanders for some reason, but Deebo was clearly better. And
I do, but I'll concede that Deebo was better.
And I think George Kittle is probably looked at as the number one guy, I think Deebo is going to overtake him in receiving yards next year. I think it's a pretty bold statement.
The way I look at it, when I'm picking who I want to be the best, DK Metcalf plays with easily the best quarterback of any of the second-year receivers, in my opinion.
Yeah,
and I think that will very much help him this year. I thought about A.J. Brown just because I think the Titans are going to be good.
Russell Wilson has not been known for making players – like, he's not been known for making players have – no, that's fair, but he's not been known to give players great statistical seasons or make receivers, quote-unquote, great. Like, Doug Baldwin, right, Golden Tate, as soon as he left Seattle, was still doing pretty well for Detroit. And Doug Baldwin, I mean, like, he's not the most talented guy, but I think post and pre-Russell Wilson type era, like, I don't know if he was there before Russell Wilson, but I know he kind of grew up with him. And I wouldn't say Russell Wilson made him great. I wouldn't say that.
I'll give you that. But DK Metcalf, you say, is a deep threat, right? That's what he does. Well, Russell Wilson's the best deep ball thrower in the NFL.
That's true. That is true. But that doesn't equate to DK Metcalf being a bona fide number one. There are deep threats who are viewed as a number three, right? There are those guys out there, right? Like, for example, you can bring up the Ravens with Jacoby Jones. I know it's a weird kind of example, but Jacoby Jones was literally known as a guy that could just take the top off the defense and score. Same thing with Torrey Smith back there. And that's what he did in big games, right? We all remember the time in Denver where Joe Flacco just throws it up third down and Jacoby Jones catches it. Like, there are those deep threats that will give you those type of plays. Same thing with Metcalf, right? I think it was a third down. I don't know what down it was, but at their own goal line, right? Russell Wilson throws it up against the Eagles. DK Metcalf catches it. The game's over. So you have those type of moments, but can I trust DK Metcalf to be a consistent and bona fide number one receiver? I don't know. So I think this question, it's more of like, who do you see as being a true, true number one? And for me, I would say Deebo over DK.
We'll see. I disagree with you. I think that Deebo's probably the fourth. I'd still maybe
put fourth. Whoa. Okay. See, it's hard to tell because, again, I don't know what Terry McLaurin is getting at the quarterback position.
That's true.
I don't know that. So, and albeit he's from Ohio State, I really like him, but I don't know what he's getting from the quarterback position. And can I trust that a quarterback's going to get him the ball consistently? I don't know.
Well, like, I mean, you can say that about Deebo too. I mean, I know that you guys are huge.
Okay, but Jimmy Garoppolo is no question better than what?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. But I think that Washington's going to pass the ball a lot more than San Francisco will this year.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true. There's a lot of up and downs there because there's just so many receivers that could just take a huge breakout year. Who knows? Maybe even Darius Slayton could just take the top off every defense and just go crazy, right, with the whole Giants passing attack. So really, there's a lot of questions there.
Receiver really is one of the hardest positions to predict, especially this year, when a lot of these receivers, you don't really know what's going on with their teams. The Redskins, you don't really know what's going on with them. The Giants, I mean, even the Titans, we don't know what we're going to get from Ryan Tannehill in his first full season as a starter on contract. So it's going to be really hard to predict. But kind of staying at the receiver position and even going to a team that we were just talking about, do you think the Seahawks would be able to control Antonio Brown? Russell Wilson has recently said that he'd like the team to go out and sign Antonio Brown. Do you think that he's ready to come back to the NFL? And would the Seahawks be able to control, you know, his personality?
See, it's so hard to say. But, I mean, think about that Seahawks offense. You've got Carson, Penny, Dorsett, Lockett, Metcalf, Olsen. And then you add in AB. I mean, but whether they're able to control him, he clearly wants a job. He wants it back. He wants to be back in the NFL. But when you look at his personality, I don't think that's a good fit with any team. I don't think it's a good fit with any team.
With the Seahawks, the last thing they would want is a type of personality that Antonio Brown brings.
Because they got good chemistry.
There are a couple teams that you just don't expect that from. The Seahawks being one, you don't expect players to go out of their way and demand whether it be money, whether it be, you know, attention. And when Earl Thomas did that, I think it threw everyone by surprise, right? Especially when he did the whole finger thing towards the bench, right? I think that caught everyone off guard. I didn't expect that from Earl Thomas. I didn't expect him to be that type of personality. Richard Sherman didn't even do, like, even the same thing with him. I didn't expect him to kind of have this whole contract dispute that would go out for so long to the point where he signed with a division rival that he literally tore apart with that tip that led to the interception. So there's a lot of, I mean, but still, the way Pete Carroll has brought back this team and kept the culture intact, Seahawks is one, Patriots is another, the Steelers, the same thing. Until, I mean, it was a very, very strict team until the whole Big Ben versus Le'Veon Bell and then Antonio Brown. So that being said, there are players that could just ruin the entire cultural identity of a team. I don't know if Antonio Brown is something that the Seahawks would want after that whole Earl Thomas, Richard Sherman situation.
See, it would be a good help for Wilson, but I just don't know if their personalities match up.
Like there are teams, and you know, there's been questions about the Eagles maybe signing him. Like, I don't think the Seahawks would be a team it's worth it. It's not worth. I don't think it's worth it for them. You said it yourself. DK Metcalf could be really good.
Yeah,
I don't think any team's gonna sign Antonio Brown. I hate to say that because he's super talented, but. I think eventually
a team will try and take a chance.
It's too far ahead for me to tell, and depending on how much he grows, but I mean, I don't see any team signing him. I don't see any team bringing him into their culture.
If anything, I think the Eagles are a team maybe, right? Because you say it, Jack. I don't know why you hate the receiving corps so much, but it is true. There is some questions there. So could I see Antonio Brown going there? I mean, I don't think they have any problems with Carson Wentz and Antonio Brown. I don't know if they're close or anything like that. But can Doug Peterson take that personality in? It remains to be seen because he is part of the Andy Reid coaching tree. So I know Andy Reid has dealt with players like that, especially having to deal with McNabb and T.O. So I'm sure Peterson's got some type of mentorship through that. So I don't know if the Eagles would be a pick, but I don't think the Seahawks. I think it's too far ahead of them.
That's interesting. I mean, you can say that he might come in and ruin the culture, but also you can look at it the other way, where maybe a culture like the Seahawks is what Antonio Brown needs, a no-nonsense kind of culture with Pete Carroll as a coach. And I think Russell Wilson, like we said before, makes people around him better, not just the way they play, but the way they are as people. And so I think that being on offense with Russell Wilson, I think Antonio Brown maybe would conform to the Seahawks culture. So what do you guys think about that?
But see, what if, so that does, but then you could also ask, does it hurt the development of their young guys? Does it hurt the development of DK? Does it hurt the development of Tyler Lockett, who is still there? And I think, honestly,
like their receiving core is already good. Like, why, there's no need to bring him in.
David Moore, Tyler Lockett, DK, like, they're, it's not bad. I think Tyler Lockett, if anything, is more of a number one than DK Metcalf right now. I in my opinion, and he's
where would you rank their offense if they sign Antonio Brown? Where would you rank their offense?
tough to tell. I don't know what would DK's role become then? Because Antonio Brown is an all around type guy. He can get the ball deep. He's a
exactly so there's no catcher there's on the no sideline. Need. It's so, unnecessary. Yeah,
I mean, is it really?
What do you think the players around Russell Wilson think when you see him tweeting out or talking about how he'd love to see the team?
Yeah, that's
Antonio Brown.
That's interesting too. I think it depends. It depends on the player. Some players would be like, hey, players with big personalities would be like, hey, why the hell are you doing this? Like, I'm a guy here. I'm a number one. Why are you trying to get out and get another player? But there are other people who are open to it, right? We've seen players who kind of put their personalities aside and do it. But I think the wide receiver position is the most diva-like out of all of them. It's kind of the flashy position. Everyone wants to score touchdowns, do celebrations, stuff like that. Everyone wants their yards, right? I think with running backs, they know they're going to get carries, right? Quarterbacks know they're going to get to throw the ball. But receivers, you don't know. You don't know if you're going to get it or if another receiver is going to get it or if they don't pass the ball on a specific down, right? I mean, and we've seen it. Most of the divas in the NFL are at the receiver position. So it's a really tough task. I think the Seahawks specifically, I don't know how much Antonio Brown makes them better by. Like, I don't know how much the receiving core gets better because it's already pretty good. I think the Seahawks have other facets of the game that they need to address, especially the offensive line, which is still inconsistent. Even though Russell Wilson makes it look good, still needs to get better, in my opinion. Defensive line is still iffy with Ziggy Ansah. It didn't really work out. Clowney up in the air. So if I'm them, I think I shy away from it.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. We'll see if he ever gets back into the NFL. Obviously, you could say he's the receiver of this past decade of the 2010s, but it really, I mean, it's terrible to see what happened to him since he's so talented. It just seems like, you know, a screw came loose and couldn't figure out what to do with it. Moving on, though, from the wide receiver position, we talk about him a lot, Baker Mayfield, but will Kyler Murray be better, the same, or worse than his Oklahoma counterpart in Baker Mayfield this year?
When you look at their situations, it's eerily similar. Although Baker is definitely more proven, and I've seen more flashes from him, and especially considering the division he plays in, the NFC West is nuts this year.
So
I'm going to go with Baker.
So is the
AFC North. That's true, but I'd go NFC West over AFC North.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with Baker Mayfield only because I don't know how much I'm going to trust Kyler Murray. I know he got D-Hop, and I know he's got all these pieces around him now. But what he's going to do with them, that's just yet to be seen. We've seen flashes of what Baker can do. Baker's played 1 year more. And I think I'd be comfortable just saying Baker rather than saying Kyler.
I think it's a really, really interesting question because, I mean, it's not an episode without me talking about the Browns, but I think when you talk about Baker, it's just a really interesting thing because he's always been an overachiever. He's always kind of come in with low expectations and just beat them, right? When he was the number one pick, people didn't think he should have been. People thought Sam Darnold was more proven, right? Like, they didn't think he was deserving of that number one selection. Comes in, right? They didn't even think he should start week one. Hugh Jackson didn't say that, right? Again, battling in training camp, like there was arguments about him versus Drew Stanton to be the backup. Like that's on hard knocks. That's kind of pathetic. And then come week three, Tyrod Taylor's playing one of the worst games of his career, gets concussed. Baker comes in down 14-0 and just somehow overcomes that entire deficit and wins the game. Right. And that was the Browns' first win in about 650 days. That's pretty damn impressive.
Yeah.
And I think while he's had that amazing rookie year, right? Record setter for touchdowns. He also had one of the biggest sophomore slumps I think we've ever seen. Like 59% completion percentage, that is not good. But with Kyler Murray, it's like I don't know if he overachieved. I think he did just what he was supposed to do as a number one pick. He won the Rookie of the Year, even though I thought he shouldn't have. He still won it. He still has that on his resume. I think it's really – it's tough to tell because Kyler Murray is someone that you can – I think he's getting more expectations now. And he's also one of those guys that's always been an overachiever. So could he have a slump and really disappoint? Yeah. But it's like, it's year three for Baker. He's got a really good year on his hands. He got a really bad year on his hands. What am I getting year three? And I think I'm going to get a good one from him because simple as this, there's less primetime games, less time for him to mess up. There's less expectations on him. Now he gets to overachieve again. Right, he's got that chip on his shoulder. He's having meetings with players a lot more now. He's getting them together. He's showing leadership, I think, this year. And he's gone on media shows and truly admitted he was wrong. He's humbled himself. Then again, I still need to see it on the field, but I think Baker's finally put it together. I think he's got a better coaching staff, but keep in mind, this is his fourth coach in like 2 years, or sorry, 3 years, fourth coach, 3 years. That's pretty hard on a quarterback. So there's a lot of questions there, but I'm going to go with Baker.
Anish, you're going to hate me for this, but I'm thinking about switching to Kyler, because as a 49ers fan who watched both the Cleveland and Arizona games, I think Murray's speed.
I think that was the worst Browns game of the season. Worst game of the season. So
Baker was just lost against our pass rush. Murray's speed neutralized it.
I don't even think it was that. It was just ever since that foot pick with Callaway, because the Browns were down, I think it was 3-14 or something like that. If they had scored there, it was 10-14.
Oh, the Kwon Williams pick. Stop.
Yeah, so it was their worst game of the year, but
it's so tough. It's especially considering Baker had a sophomore slump. There, he could easily come back, especially with what's around him. You got a new coach. I mean,
yeah, a way better coach
coach.
Well, okay, but that is yet to be seen. I mean, we've never
but we've seen Stefanski develop guys in Case Keenum and what do you call it, Kirk?
Yeah, I mean, like, look what he did with Case Keenum.
He's been the play caller. He led them to 13 wins.
Yeah.
Case Keenum. You're okay.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, he's developed Kirk Cousins, who was a quarterback from Washington that was on the ips of being a top 10. You know, maybe is he still in the top 15, right? And he comes to Minnesota. I think we can all agree he is a top 10 quarterback, albeit in the the bottom half of it.
I'd put him top 10 quarterback,
right? So I think Stefanski was a big part of that. And he is the play caller. He has always been the play caller for the last, I think it was 2 to 3 years. So while he's not going to be the main defensive play caller, he just needs to stick to his role and focus on the offense more, because we have Joe Woods, who's a defensive coordinator who worked with San Francisco. There are a lot of old experienced guys there. Bill Callahan on the offensive line. He's got help around him. I think they've got out guys they did more research into the positions that they need, not the flashy guys that Dorsey did. So, and the Cardinals, you could say the same thing. You could say the same thing about what the Cardinals have done. They have done a very, very good job of which players they've approached. I think DeAndre Hopkins, while he does have a type of personality to him, it's not an insane one. He's a humble guy. He knows where he's from. And I don't think he's going to expect 150 targets every year. I don't think he's the type of guy to expect that. So, but when it comes to the bottom line, I just think Kyler Murray's got a lot more to tell me and show to me. And Baker, I think, he's just always been an overachiever. And I got to ride what he's been doing his entire football career.
That's interesting. I want to stick at the quarterback position. We've talked about Aaron Rodgers before, but I kind of want to bring up one last thing with him. Do you think he has anything left to prove at all?
Anything left to prove, as in,
legacy-wise or
legacy-wise,
do you think he has anything to prove to the Packers? Obviously, might be a little upset with him. Does he have anything left to prove in his career?
I mean, it really depends what angle you're looking at. The Packers refuse to give him wide receivers. And I mean, Aaron Rodgers can make any wide receiver look good. We've seen that before. Will he have something to prove? Yes. I think he'll definitely have something to prove. I don't know what it is. He's going to have something to prove, especially when they bring in Jordan Love. Because this guy is still at the helm of the Packers. And their championship window is still there. It's ridiculously small, and it can shrink as
I think the
season goes on.
I don't think it's small. Like, albeit we did kind of talk about how the Packers may not make win their division. That for me at least, that doesn't mean their championship window isn't open. I think they're still a contender for
the season. It is still open. It is still open, but that doesn't mean it's still like it's growing smaller and smaller by the days.
But I think it comes down to the question, is Aaron Rodgers' legacy on the line with what he has left in the tank? I don't think he's a guy who's going to try and play till he's 45 like Brady and Brees are trying to. I don't think he's that type of guy. I don't think he's that invested into his career like that. I think he's already established himself as a borderline top 10 quarterback of all time, just because of what we've seen from the talent that he's had, what we've seen him do. Obviously, like, it's kind of – he's well beyond it, though, because it's been, what, 5-6 years since he's been removed from that MVP season. So
how about this? Do you think Aaron Rodgers will win at least one more Super Bowl before he retires? Keep in mind, Rodgers is 36. Yeah, do you think he's going to win one more?
If I were to, if you put a gun to my head, or if you told me to bet money on it, I would say no. I don't think so.
But what if he leaves Green Bay?
If he leaves Green Bay, then there's a chance. I would give, but I don't. If I were to bet money on it, I wouldn't say that he would win another Super Bowl in Green Bay. I don't think so. I think Green Bay, because
I'm comparing Rodgers' situation to like with the Chiefs, with Patrick Mahomes and Alex Smith and Cap and Alex Smith.
Does he have anything left to prove?
You don't draft a quarterback that high or trade up for one like the Chiefs did just for
quarterback to sit out. That is true. So, but does Aaron Rodgers, in terms of what he has done, have anything yet to prove? Yes, because he has
something to prove.
People have viewed him as one of the most talented quarterbacks to ever grace the NFL. One of the best quarterbacks to ever throw the football. And we've seen it countless times, right? Those Hail Marys that he's thrown, some of them, okay, you can call luck, but a lot of them are also pure
It's arm talent.
Yeah, like the ones to Jeff Janis in that playoff game, those were not by accident. I think those were perfectly placed balls. And I think Aaron Rodgers has done a lot in his career where it's like, why hasn't he done more? Okay, you can bring up the defensive struggles. You can bring that up. I agree. In order for a team to win the Super Bowl, you have to be good on both sides. I can't recall a team that has won the Super Bowl with a bottom 15 defense or a defensive team that's won it with a bottom 15 offense. I don't know how bad Denver's offense was in 2015, but I know it wasn't that bad. So Is it to a point where Aaron Rodgers could have had more talent? Sure. But two MVPs on his resume and a Super Bowl championship in 2011, like, and you haven't gotten back to the big game. I mean, I know the Packers blew that 16-0 lead in the NFC championship, but the onside kick, sure, but partly it's on you for not scoring in the fourth quarter. See, it's the same thing with all these big games. You cannot solely blame it on, just missed cues. I think, and I even used to argue, like, for Tom Brady, there's like a lot of memes that say this, right? There are like plays, you could handpick plays that you could point out and Tom Brady would have no rings. But you could also bring up Tom Brady could have won the Super Bowl against Eli if it hadn't been for the helmet catch or the Mario Manningham catch. Although those I thought were pure, like, no luck, just great throws. But
my thing is, if Rodgers stays in Green Bay, he's not winning another. But if he leaves, I think he will.
Yeah, I think so. But what does that mean for his legacy? If he wins another Super Bowl, are you really putting it? How far up are you moving him? Like, if he wins another Super Bowl with the Super Bowl MVP, I don't know. Is he cracking my top five? I don't know.
We don't know because we got to see what team he goes to as well. If he wins another
Super Bowl and a Super Bowl MVP, yes. Yeah.
And Peyton Manning?
No.
Okay.
I'm not putting him over Peyton Manning. I don't think there's anything he can do.
I would not put him over Peyton.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything that he can do, despite if he won the Super Bowl with the MVP. While he'll have more Super Bowl MVPs, I don't think there's anything he can do that would make me put him above Peyton Manning. And keep in mind, honestly, if we're being real, I think he's one collarbone injury away from really questioning retirement.
I think he's already questioning retirement. And in the next 3 or 4 years, his play, I'm not sure if I'm the only one that's noticed it. Every time I turn on a game where Aaron Rodgers is playing in a big game, I'm just disappointed in watching him play. Like, I'm severely just disappointed watching him roll out and throw the ball away all the time.
Colin Coward again, huh, Jack?
No.
Yeah.
Every time I watch him.
No, I know.
He leaves the Packers or the Niners.
Yes. That's fair, but, like, I mean, I think he's lost a bit of his flashy touch. Like, he used to be that guy where it was just like, wow, like, what he would do. I still remember watching that Cardinals-Packers game. Like, the things he did to pull that team and make them,
was an amazing game.
That was amazing. And he's done so many things in his career to just go, wow. Like, again, the Packers-Bears game, right? Where he came down 20-0, I think, or something like that. And he comes back to win the game off pure magic. I think he's done this so many times. And, we can parallel Mahomes. I think Rodgers is the closest guy we can parallel Mahomes' magic too, right? But, again, right now, I think he's established himself as a borderline top 10 quarterback of all time. Right?
Yeah.
Can he crack the top five with the Super Bowl? I think so. With a Super Bowl and a Super Bowl MVP, I think it's
possible. Depends what team he goes to, though. what's around him.
No, but because even if he's on a contender, see, people aren't going to look back and be like, oh, he had the best team ever. That Super Bowl doesn't count. When we look at Peyton Manning, I don't discount him for you know, quote unquote, being carried by his defense. I don't. I still give him credit for winning the game because I don't think they would have won the Super Bowl or the AFC Championship with Brock Osweiler. So there, I don't. Even if Rodgers is on a contender, it doesn't matter. I give him credit for the ring. I would give him credit for the ring, and I think his ceiling is top four.
If you had to put everything on it right now, where does he go?
Oh, like to a team? Oh, like which team?
Yep.
Colts, maybe.
I think he stays out in Green Bay.
Oh wait, Colts, because Philip Rivers leaves after this year.
Yeah, if he were to move somewhere, Saints could be an interesting one if Breeze gets kind of pushed out or like if he retires.
Think about that.
So Saints is one, Colts
Rogers
is another.
To MT.
But if I were to bet money on it, I would say Rodgers stays in Green Bay.
I think that's kind of
where I'm leaning.
I think he's got a couple more years in Green Bay. Yeah. I think that it might be a little bit overrated, people talking about how much he wants to leave. I think that he's Green Bay at heart. He's going to want to stay.
What could he – like, what could moving to another team really fulfill him for?
Yeah.
I mean, well, the ring – sure, the ring, he wins it, but I think in his mind, it would mean a lot to him more to win it in Green Bay. I don't know how much he loves Green Bay. I really don't, because he's one of those guys where he doesn't speak out a lot.
Yeah.
He's not the big personality type. So I don't know how much he loves Green Bay, as you know, as we've seen with other quarterbacks with their city. I mean, even Tom Brady, he loved New England, but I think when the time came, he just decided, hey, I need to do what's best for me and move on. So I don't know where Rodgers would go, but I think if I were to put money on it, I think he stays.
Yeah, I mean, I thought there was no way Tom Brady would leave New England. I thought he'd easily stay the whole career there, and then he goes to Tampa Bay. So it's really hard to predict. We don't know what's going on inside Aaron Rodgers' mind, and we probably won't for a couple years. I think he's got one or two more years in Green Bay before he either leaves or retires or stays there. So we'll see then. But if I were to say, I don't think he has very much more to prove. I think that he's already cemented his legacy. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback, no doubt.
Yeah.
But one more ring, you said it. I think that could make him a top five quarterback of all time.
Yeah.
I could see it, yeah.
Yeah. I think the last topic I want to cover – quickly before we run out of time, would you rather have Derwin James or Jamal Adams if you're starting a team?
Jamal. I would take Jamal. I know it's closer than people may think, but look, I know stats aren't everything. Jamal has been better statistically better than Derwin every single year. Derwin is coming off injury, which I'm kind of concerned about. But, I mean, Derwin is coming for that title next year, best safety in the NFL. But for now, I think Jamal is the best safety in the NFL. Free safety or strong safety.
Okay. Now, I think this is a very, very good question. So if Jamal Adams is a guy that I think right now, even look, when I tell you my answer, it's not because Derwin is more talented or a better player. It's because I don't want to deal with Jamal Adams' personality. I don't. Constantly at edge obviously that whole thing with the mascot. That was just stupid. I don't know if you guys know this, but he tackled the mascot for that was just.
But should that really play a factor?
No, that's not a factor. It's just, it's part of what he's been saying. He's been always going at quarterbacks in the AFC East, right? He's always talking trash. And what he does with the Jets going back and forth, right, with this whole contract situation, it's like, it seems a bit petty. And Jamal Adams, no question right now.
But I'm not going to factor that in.
I think it should factor, because if I'm starting a team for the future,
Derwin James is a better safety.
But see, when I look at it, it's who am I? If I were to start,
because that's financial problem.
If I were to start a team, right, for the next year, and I had to choose, I don't want to deal with Jamal Adams kind of, you know, asking for more time or like, you know, wanting to play more in the box, because Derwin James is a type of guy that I can.
I'd like to point out
he's. No, he's never done it before because, again, he still had to prove what he is. Now he's proved himself as easily, I think it's not even close, the best strong safety in football, right? Harrison Smith, it's close, but I think
– I'd still go Jamal.
Yeah, I'd still go Jamal, I think. But he's really established himself as a hybrid safety. You can cover, tackle, and stack the quarterback. I think he had like 6.5 this year.
Yeah, he can rush the quarterback too.
He can – yeah, so – but – Derwin James is, I think, the most I think it's the guy that I parallel to him the most, their games. I think he, and when he came off injury, right, he still played pretty well. Obviously not enough to the standards that would earn him a Pro Bowl or an All-Pro. Obviously he missed a lot of time. But keep in mind, in his rookie year, he was, I believe, first team All-Pro. He's, and not only that, as someone who's even friends with Jalen Ramsey, he's getting that mentorship, but still he has not been the big personality type. Like, he hasn't been the same type of guy as Jalen Ramsey, who asks for an insane amount of money or just constantly trash talks and doesn't back it up with team success. Derwin James is not the type of guy to do that. And he's very invested in LA, despite, you know, the Chargers not really having that big of a fan base, right? They're not really a team with an identity. But Derwin James is the type of guy that I want leading my defense. He is someone that knows his role, yet just plays exceptionally. And I'm honestly, if we're being real, Jamal Adams is a better player. Right now, Jamal Adams is a better player.
Yeah.
Probably next year, he'll be the better player. Even 2 years down the road, if I were to pick who would have the better career, I'd go Jamal Adams. But Derwin James, just I don't want the whole Jamal Adams problems that come with it. And I know it's not a lot, but you got to admit, there's been a lot of back and forth with the Jets. And I don't want that going in with Derwin James.
I mean, as a Jets fan, I think I've seen it a little bit more closely than you two. I think it's honestly, he has a reason to complain. I don't think that they're giving him the contract that he wants and deserves.
And think about it. His dad, actually, I read this online, but his dad, he didn't get paid. And like, he ended up with his whole career just got derailed by injuries. So it's fair for him to complain about not getting the money he wants.
That's fair, but then if you're complaining so much, if I'm Jamal Adams, I wait to free agency to do this, and then, because if you keep complaining, it's the NFL. It only hurts. Like it's I'm sorry, but it's like owners thrive on that. Owners thrive on players being dealers,
sure,
because it helps them. All but that being said, players still get their contract, right? Odell got his.
But the contract disputes, the personality, that's not what I'm looking for when I look at who's the better safety.
But think about it. When after they get their contracts, it's like a lot of times players just derail. And I'm not saying Jamal Adams will be that guy, but we've seen it before. Like, we've seen players get their contracts and it kind of goes downhill. Like, I mean, Joe Flacco. I mean, I know it's a quarterback position, but we've seen Joe Flacco, Colin Kaepernick. We've seen receivers that have gotten big contracts that have just, like, Roy Williams. Like, there's a lot of guys that you can name that when they get their money, they're just not the same player. And I think – I don't know Derwin James as much because obviously he hasn't played as much. Like, he's played 2 years. 1 year where he was fully healthy was an absolute stud. And the second year he kind of got derailed by injuries, came back, did pretty good. But if I'm going next year, who I think would have the better year? I think I wouldn't rule out Derwin James having an absolute monster year, because keep in mind, he has a lot of help at the cornerback position. So that allows him to become this kind of guy that's in the box while also being able to cover. And Jamal Adams has now Marcus May kind of in that mix. Derwin James is going to probably play more meaningful games. It's close. I might even give the edge to Derwin James on having a better year. That does not mean he's a better player. Kind of like what I was saying with Adam Thielen earlier. While I think he can make an all pro team, that doesn't mean he's better than some of the other guys.
Yeah, I think there's no denying that Jamal Adams talks a lot and has a big personality, but he has never once not backed it up on the field, in my opinion. So I'm going to go with Jamal Adams. I know you're going to disagree with that, Anish, but thank you guys so much for watching this episode. We had a ton of fun making it. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a 5-star rating. It'll really help us grow. And if you're on YouTube, leave a like and comment down below what you thought of some of the topics we covered. We hope to do another one of these episodes in the future, but thank you guys so much for watching, and we'll see you next time.